so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. We've got a fantastic hour ahead for you. So recently on one of our Talk to Me Thursday shows, I asked a question. And if you don't know what Talk to Me Thursday is, it's a brand new thing we've been doing on Thursdays where we pick a topic and you're the guest and I throw a question out and you call in and we have these awesome conversations. And so far, it's been a pretty amazing hit. Well, on one of those Talk to Me Thursday shows, I asked the question, what are you afraid of? What keeps you up at night? And if you were listening that day, you know we could not get to all the calls or the emails that came in. And here's the truth. We're all afraid of something. And given the day we're in, it seems our fears have reason to escalate. But Jesus knew we'd be living in this day. He knew you and I would be living in this day. And he told us again and again through his word, do not fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So how do we do that exactly? Well, my guest today is Kelly Ballery, and she's going to share how you can awaken courage in your own life and overcome your fears. And you know this if you listen often enough. I go through about 8 to 9 books a week every single week to prep for 10 shows worth of live radio. This is one of those books I'm going back to visit again and again. I love it. It's titled Fear Fighting, Awakening Courage to Overcome Your Fears. And if you listen often enough, you know fear has been something I've dealt with and still deal with to this day. So I can't wait for you to hear from Kelly and to hear her content. We've got 3 copies of Kelly's book. If you want in on the drawing, you know the drill. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. If you remember your mailing address, your name will automatically go in on the drawing. You've been hearing about this epic, amazing Northwestern Christian Writers Conference we're hosting this summer. It's, Lord willing, going to be the first of many. Well, the limited one-on-one appointments are going fast. We have 350 slots available for it. So we really, anybody, we can really probably accommodate 800-900 people attending, but the first 350 of you to sign up and register are guaranteed one-on-one appointment with a faculty member. Well, we've got, I think, just over 300 people already registered. So if you want in, I want you to sign up, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also, scholarships are available for the conference, and you can learn more about those by visiting the scholarship section under the About tab on that same website. This is not to be confused with our annual writers contest. And I don't want you to be confused because this is our 5th annual writers contest. And we do this in response to you because there are many aspiring writers in our listening audience. And this year we're doing something a little different. Submissions, we're taking them right now, but the top 6 winners will win their registration fee to the conference. So you'll find information on the contest, which is in full swing right now. Find it at myfaithradio.com. Okay, I want to tell you, just read a little excerpt from my guest's book, Fear Fighting. She says this, call me crazy, but I believe it's possible. I really want to get somewhere new, somewhere just a little bit risky, somewhere a little more free, somewhere lighter, somewhere more. I see it on the horizon, calling. And staying where we are stinks worse than a giant landfill. Why stay here? Why stay in the place where we brace ourselves for the next thing about to nail us? I want you to hear that again. Why stay in the place where we brace ourselves for the next thing about to nail us? Where we determine our rejections, our eternal verdicts on our worth? Where we swing on the pendulum of comparison, prideful one day and ruined the next? Where we're jealous of anyone who's better? Where our past stunts our growth? Where we shake horribly at the idea of the unknown? These kinds of things wear you down to the treads. I want to start fighting today because I want devotion. I want rhythm with God. I want to do life with Him. Ah, don't you love it? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kelly Ballery is a contributing blogger at crosswalk.com, at ibelieve.com, and Girlfriends in God. Her work's been featured on Relevant, Encourage, and Today's Christian Woman. She lives with her husband and 2 toddlers near the sun-soaked shores of the East Coast. Dear Kelly, so good to meet you.
It's so wonderful to talk with you today, Susie. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And as I told you off the air, I love this book, and I just congratulate you on a project very well done.
Thank you. You know, my heart's intent was to write this book with God because I'll raise my hand over here at the sun-soaked shores of the East Coast and say I'm probably the number one fear here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so I really needed God to show up for me, and He is so faithful, so faithful.
He really, really is. Well, Kelly, we love to start our conversation talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you've got a verse, either just a life verse or one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
I love Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And I just love the idea of just staying on God's path. And when we stay on God's path, we're literally on a path to life where we find joy in his presence. It's so hard to be in God's presence and to be absent of joy. And so that really combats fear, which I love.
Very good. It's like defiant joy. You know what I mean? You're just putting your foot down and declaring. So talk, if you wouldn't mind, Kelly, about your history with fear. Do you have a distinct memory of when you first felt fear?
It's funny because when I was a little girl, I would get in my backyard and I would just let loose. I remember being a little girl, maybe about 8 or 7, maybe even younger, 6 or 5. And I would have my dress on and I'd swirl and I'd twirl in the backyard. And I was so free. I would sing songs. I would let go with God. And, I probably sang off pitch. I probably looked crazy there in my backyard, but I just knew that God heard me. The birds were around me. It was like I was just me. And I think somehow this was the moment before words of judgment got attached to me. Words like, oh, you don't really sound that good, or you're not really as pretty as you think. You really look stupid when you dance like that and do pliés and gallops in the backyard. And look at you, you should be doing better things than that. And, I think life, whether it's through words of people or through experiences that we hit or judgments on someone's face, it comes at us in a way where it rips away who we once were in Christ, who we were made to be, and we put on these facades, these images that cover over maybe God's true intent for our heart, for our life, and we start living as someone we're not because we're afraid to be who we were created to be.
Boy, that's such a good insight, Kelly. Well, bring us through your journey a little bit more, if you would, because I know for me, I can look back and look at certain dots, certain things that happened that the enemy has just baited me to connect the dots so that I will draw a wrong conclusion about who God is and who I am. I mean, I can picture them in my history, and they all send a message that enemy is saying, I can get to you anytime, anywhere, and God doesn't care. I would love to know if you're okay, as much as you're able to share, just certain tipping point moments in your life that kind of embedded fear in your soul.
Absolutely. It started right from the beginning. I was the worst reader and writer. I stayed back in third grade. I would write my letters backwards, my sentences backwards. I had teachers that told me I was horrible writers. Then I had a writer, and then I had a boss that told me she would rip up my work and say, oh, you're really no good at this kind of thing.
Wow.
It was very painful for me. I always felt like I was stupid. I never thought I was really worth anything. And then in college, I just kind of overcompensated for that. I worked so, so hard. I just wanted to be something better than me. And so I studied like all the jobs that I was applying to. I studied them and learned exactly what the company wanted me to be. I said, if they want me to be smart, I'll show them smart. I'll know them so well. I'll give them the exact words that they want to hear. And when I spoke to them, I just gave them a story. It wasn't who I was. It was just this like fabricated image of Kelly. And I ended up hating the jobs. I hated them. And I ran myself into an eating disorder because I was always trying to be something I wasn't to everybody. If you wanted smart, I would give you smart. And so I lost myself. And really, it was just all rooted in fear. I was so afraid to be truly an authentic me. Again, back to that little girl, I was afraid to let her shine because I thought the world hated that girl. And then later in life, I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. The doctors were sure I had it, and they sent me through MRI after MRI and test after test after test. And I just came face to face with the truth that I was going to have to live probably in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. And at a point like that, you just have to get down to the fact of the matter, like, if the worst happens to me, what's gonna really happen to my life? Where am I going to go? What's it all about? What am I going to do? And everything all of a sudden gets very real. And beyond that, fortunately, after much prayer, I did not get diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Thank you, God. But after that, I remember sitting down with my husband, and we were there on my birthday, and he looked at me and he said, Kelly, what are you doing with your life? Like, I feel like you're going all these different directions, but you're really getting nowhere. And it was in that moment that kind of pinnacle of all my, I reached the pinnacle of all my fears. And I just looked at myself and I said, oh my goodness, I'm just basically a walking ball of anxiety and worry. And I'm trying and failing at everything. And I just realized that I can either turn towards God in faith and follow after him and let him help deliver me from my fear, or I can continue to just let all the fears of my past, all the fears that have kind of mounted one on top of the other, just rule my life and keep me trembling and not walking into God's greatest callings.
Wow. So, Kelly, we've got a couple minutes before our quarter hour break. Can you say a word about how God met you in that place? I mean, what a loving, pointed question from your husband, because it really does call you to take a look at what's driving you. But how did God also meet you in that place? I mean, he met you through your husband, but you know what I mean? In a personal way, how did he impress his truths on your heart?
I think it came after that point with my husband. I had to really get alone with God and just say, God, if you are God and you are really powerful enough to save me and you really are Savior and your Redeemer and your Deliverer, can you save me, deliver, and redeem my story? Can you save me from my fears? And that was the process of writing this book. Like, God, here I am, God. Come and meet me. Come and save me. I can't, God. I can't do this anymore, but I know you can. And I turned to him and waited for his answer, and he delivered it to me through scripture, prayers, stories, and truth.
Talking to Kelly Ballard today. Title of her book, Fear Fighting, Awakening Courage to Overcome Your Fears. When we come back, we're going to kind of explore this question, and I want you to think about it during this little 1 minute, 1.5 minute break. When you get silent and introspective, what patterns of fear do you identify in your life? When you get silent and introspective, be honest now, what patterns of fear do you identify in your life? More with Kelly Ballard when we return. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kelly Ballard. She's written an amazing book titled Fear Fighting, Awaken Courage to Overcome Your Fears. This is a call to grit, to faith, to entrusting our weaknesses and our fears to God and finding his strength in us. We've got 3 copies of this great book. Email me if you want in on the drawing. Make sure you identify the fear book, just because we get so many emails. That would be super helpful. Susie with an S, not a Z. Susie with an S. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address, and your name will automatically then go in on the drawing. So, Kelly, you asked this question. It's very thought-provoking. I'd love for you to unpack it a bit more. And here it is. When you get silent and introspective, what patterns of fear do you identify in your life? Say more if you would.
Absolutely. You know, to listen to your internal dialogue is very telling. So when you wake up in the morning and you first step out of bed, what is it you first start to think of? Is it, you know, I've really got to make sure that I get the kids dressed, ready for school. I got to get the lunch bag, get them out the door. Or is it, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to pay my finances. I don't know how we're going to pay that next bill. I'm completely stressed. What's going to happen to us? You know, are you prone to control? Are you prone to worry? Identify what your triggers are. There are certain triggers. And a lot of times they trigger us because they come from our past. They come from a wound that was present. Maybe when we were children, you know, you were a child. When you were a child, your parents always worried about finances. And those same themes, those same patterns can seem to just roll right up into our present and our future life if we let them. And that's why fear fighting is so important, because it kind of breaks that pattern and it stops it, and it replaces it then, instead of with a pattern, it replaces it with a promise from God, something new that you can dwell on and to bring you into a renewed mindset.
Boy, that's good. So would you say, because we all do fear different things, for most of the time then, our current fears are sort of a composite of our past traumas, or is it in some form or another, or is there something different than that?
Well, I think a lot of times it starts from our past traumas, but I also think about a fear cycle. There's this stimuli to fear. Fear in itself is not always a bad thing, right? If you're in the woods and you see a bear running towards you, Susie, you better get running, right?
Mm-hmm.
But fear in itself, the momentary sense of fear is not always a bad thing. But if you have fear and then it's something that's, you know, a fear that you let dwell inside your heart. See, say that I am afraid of finances, and then I start to worry about it, and I just fret about it. And then, as a Christian, sometimes what we're prone to do, moving along this cycle, is to say, oh my gosh, I know I'm not supposed to fear. Over 300 times in God's word, he says, do not fear. God is with you. I got to stop fearing. I can't believe I'm feared. Then do you know what we do? We tend to fear even more, and we get even more stressed out about it. And because we're more stressed, we fear in a greater way, and maybe our fear grows. And then on top of that, we fear that we're fearing.
Mm.
And before we know it, this cycle has turned into a snowball that's coming down a hill, and it's literally going to flatten us. So it can start from a trauma from the past, but sometimes it rolls into new fears, new traumas, new obsessions, new worries. And it just, until we're convinced we're gonna be ruined.
Mm. Wow. Okay. And you say that to fight fear really is nothing more than a willingness and a readiness. Because as you say, when it snowballs, it feels like it will swallow us alive. It'll paralyze us. But to take our stand is nothing more than a willingness and a readiness. Talk about a little bit more about our part and then God's part, if you would.
Absolutely. It is a willingness and a readiness. And there is a willingness just to say, I'm going to fear fight. And I want to just speak over every single listener right now. I want each person to know there's no shame in the fighting, okay? Because fear is going to hit us. That stimuli is going to come. There are going to be things that are going to happen that momentarily make us feel afraid, okay? And there's no shame in that, because it's not so much that we're afraid for a moment, it's what we do with it afterwards, okay? And this is where it comes to the point of saying, what's God's part and what's our part? Okay, God's part is, he says, for instance, in Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. You see, we can know that God will be with us. That is his part. Our part is to choose to dwell on that, to choose to say, okay, rather than holding the hand of fear, I'm going to hold the hand of God as I walk forward into my day. I'm not going to choose to dwell on the circumstances around me. I'm going to choose to dwell on my high and mighty God. And you see, it's not such a big thing. I think sometimes we think fear fighting is about making a giant leap to mankind, where all of a sudden, once we were like this cowering girl in the corner, and now we've just like literally leapt up to the moon of fearlessness. But I like to think about fearless as fearing less, just fearing a little bit less. In the situation you're prone to be afraid, to just grab God's hand and to choose in the moment, in that one instance, to hold his hand and to choose a different path, to choose courage in your moment. And I think what we find when we do that is step by step by step, we're walking to a place that's much further and farther than we ever realized, until we get to the day where we look back and we're like, oh my goodness, I just came that far.
Mm, so good. We'll be taking our bottom of the hour break in about 3.5 minutes, but I just give you a heads up. But you have these declarations that challenge us, and I love them, like this one. Fear, you are a bad friend, but I serve a great God. Fear, you are enemy number one, but Christ has already won. Fear, you are against me, but God is for me. You know, Scripture says faith comes by hearing. And I just know when my ears hear my mouth say what's true, something happens in my soul. And I can tell that's probably true for you as well. Speak to these declarations that you include throughout the book.
Absolutely. I'm convinced that I lived life as a Christian on the defense. But I believe that God wants us to live life as a Christian on the offense. And so that's what these declarations do. They help us get into a fighting pose where we're just saying, you know what? Life isn't coming at me. I'm coming at life with the word of God, with the truth of God. I've got the armor of God on. I am empowered. I am strengthened by him. I will not be afraid. I am emboldened. impassioned, and I'm ready to go. You see, and when we put on that kind of mindset and that power that is God's power, we can go out into the world not feeling like we're victims, but we can walk out like victors because Christ is our victory, and he's going to win every single time. And even when we're going through a trial or a storm, you know what? God's making us stronger in that place. He's teaching us joy that is eternal. And see, we're always winning with God if we just have the right mind frame.
I really love how you painted the picture, and I may be getting this wrong, so correct me if I am, but the idea of instead of holding hands with fear, holding hands with God, because, you know, fear is a spirit. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And so the enemy is so behind the paralyzing fear. And yet sometimes we're like lambs led to the slaughter where we let fear take us by the hand and lead us to a place of paralysis. But the idea of going, while you taunt me, while you yell in my ear, I've got God's hand, and he will lead me in paths of righteousness. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely. I call fear our worst best friend, because fear is someone we know. We've spent our life, for the most part, with fear. We've grown comfortable with his words about ourselves, about our life, about the people that we love. And so fear we know. And so sometimes it's hard to leave someone that you know, because it's where you can, it's like that comfortable couch. You have that indent there. You can just fall back into it. You see, but sometimes we just need to say, okay, if I'm holding God's hand, I can get the feeling that he's pulling me to something better. So if we're holding God's hand, it's worth taking the risk, because we know where he's leading us is somewhere with joy. It's green pastures of rest. It's hope. It's new sunrises. And so it can be worth it to step away into this area of risk, because we know he can lift us above our cliffs.
So would you say, Kelly, that when you get into that place where you hold his hand and your heart's still beating and you want so much to be afraid, I know there have been times when I've done that where I've actually sensed his peace and his presence, but there's other times I have not, and I've had to keep walking, keep believing, and then there comes a point where the sun breaks through the clouds. Has that sort of been the same for you?
Absolutely. I think, well, faith is belief in the things unseen, right? Yeah. But so many times in God's word, he had people take a step of faith before he kind of met them, right? The blind man had to put mud on his eyes before he could see, right? So sometimes there's this movement towards God, and then he comes and meets you. As you take a step, he grabs your hand, you know. As you reach out to Christ, he's pulling you in. Think about the prodigal father, you know. He put his arms out and the son runs in. You know, it's this picture of meeting.
So good. Talking to Kelly Ballery about her beautiful book, Fear Fighting, Awakening Courage to Overcome Your Fears. My battery on my computer just died, just letting you know. So we'll do the drawing. Keep the emails coming, but I won't be able to ask your questions. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll do the drawing after the show for this great book. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kelly Ballery. She's written an amazing book titled Fear Fighting, Awakening Courage to Overcome Your Fears. It's just really about accessing the power, the promises of God, of not detesting your weaknesses and your fear. I mean, they're just real. We all have them. One of the things, Kelly, that you write is if you spend your whole life grasping for happy in the future, you'll end up missing God's transformation in the present. You'll run after something, but you'll never catch it. I want you to speak to not only the pace that we keep, which compels us to miss the graces that God puts in our present path, but also make that connection to faith and how that kind of pace of running, chasing the wind, really does stir up an anxiety that we don't need to have.
I so love that you're asking me this, Susie, because, you know, we can either look back at our past and dwell our mind there at everything that went wrong, at everything that's not shouldn't have happened, at all the ways we're hurt and have issues, or we can look to the future and say, oh, I need to get to that destination down there. I really should be doing this. That's my dream. Once I get that thing or that person, I'll be happy then. Or once I get rid of that person, I'll be happy then. Or once I get rid of this job, life will be good. You see, the only place that God is, the only place where joy is in the present moment. He is working right here, right now. He wants our mind right now. He wants our prayers right now. He wants our presence right now. Just as I read that verse that says, in his joy, there is presence and there is joy in his presence. There is joy in his presence, you see? So I think I've come to realize that when I'm letting my heart stray off in those other areas, which tends to land into worries, I lose God. Mm. I lose the growth that he's doing in me. I lose the joy he's producing. I lose the little pieces of learning. And that tends to be the real gold that we're after. Like, he's changing us. He's wanting to meet us. But it's hard to meet with somebody who's, I know you've probably been at that party before, right? With that person who's like, you're talking to them, but they're looking left and right and looking for that other person. They're completely distracted and they're not really listening to what you're saying, right? It's hard even for God to get our attention when we're doing that.
Boy, and I have to read this from your book. You put together words from God to us based on scripture. And I'm thinking maybe listening today, you needed to hear this. Because one of the things you said, Kelly, is that even when we struggle, God doesn't send us to our room without dinner. I love that. I mean, his grace is so sufficient for us. But I want you to hear this, friend, listening today from Kelly's book, Fear Fighting. Child, I am with you. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you. You can feel afraid, but know this, I will sustain you no matter what. I will not let you fall. Still feel anxious? Pray, petition, offer thanksgiving, and let my peace waterfall on you. I give you my peace. Don't you believe? It is peace I leave and peace I give. Not like this mad world offers, but only as I can. So don't even fuss with all the madness. Turn your shortness of breath into deep breaths. For you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. You don't have to fear the intensity of love. You see, my perfect love casts out fear. My consolation is what will bring you joy. Come, get to know me. Come, get to see how much I care about your crossed arms, your shaking hands, your jitters, and your all-over cold sweats. I see it. And guess what, my child? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So pull up a chair and let me do what I do best. Minister to your heart murmurs. Oh, my goodness. I love that. And Kelly, I want you to speak to that and even how Jesus has personally done that for you.
Mm-hmm. I get so afraid so often sometimes, you know, I just feel alone. If I just am in my own thoughts, I pull off track from God and life gets heavy and burdens flood in and suddenly everything feels out of control, Susie. And sometimes I don't know what to do with myself. Honestly, I feel like I'm losing perspective and I don't have a purpose and that life is just going to fold down on top of me. And one of the only things I've found to do is just to try to hear God's heart and his love towards me. And to actually take his scripture and to apply it directly, like almost like a syringe, just to directly apply it into my veins, into my heart, like oxygen within my blood, to just let it be part of me has changed me. It has helped me to really believe God, to start to see myself not as just this girl who's roaming in this world without anybody to help her or who's just struggling to get by or who is not sure she's going to make it, into a girl who is the daughter of a king, who is beloved, who is helped, who is strengthened by not just anybody, but the creator of the universe, the designer of her own body, just the fullness of everything, the God who orchestrates the world. And somehow that shift from my own mindset to just what he thinks of me, it changes everything. It starts to help me realize that, yes, I really can do all things in Christ. And it's not fear that rules me, but Christ's love. And it's that shift. It's moving further away from who I think I am into who God says I am that makes all the difference.
Amen. And here's another declaration. I'd love for you to speak to it. If the Spirit is working here, then here is where I must be. God's working ground is the training ground of boldness. Joy isn't recovered from the past. It's only celebrated in the present. Here again, I mean, you're speaking to your soul, and we need to do that where we're making a declaration. So again, our ears and our heart hear this. And the idea of if the Spirit is working here, then here is where I must be. You touched on, you know, being God in the present for us. And yet, I feel that, again, we either get so tied up in regrets of the past with fears about the future. If God let that thing happen to me back then, how much worse? I mean, another shoe's going to drop. Another thing's going to happen. Those fears of the future can truly paralyze us, especially when you look around or watch 10 minutes of news. What advice do you have for that person who feels caught in the cycle of past regrets and future fears?
You know, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is power in knowing that we are with God and in God. I think about my son. Sometimes he gets so afraid. He'll wake in the middle of the night with a nightmare, and he'll just feel so, so afraid. You know, he'll believe that in that right about a moment later, there's going to be boogeymen ready to jump out on him. Or, you know, his mind will go to this place where everything's going to fall down on him. But I notice what he does. He gets up and runs out of his bed and runs directly into Daddy's arms. And when he's in Daddy's arms, it's as if every fear he has of the future, every worry about what might happen to him, all of that just melts off of him. And he just folds and just snuggles right into Daddy because he knows he's safe. He's not crying anymore. He's not fretting. He's just relieved because Daddy's speaking over him and holding him. And I feel that if we run in the same regard into Daddy's arms like that, and we just know he holds us with arms of comfort, he wraps us with wings of protection, he keeps us in the fullness of his safety, we don't have to tremble. We don't have to let our heart rates run through the roof. We don't have to sweat and clench our hands. We can just relax our bodies. We can let go of our feelings that we want to control or our minds that won't shut off. And we can just be with God. And then as we be with God and we talk with him, which is prayer and conveying our hearts and where we're at, he returns back to our heart, his peace. He gives us visions of who he is. He speaks words of comfort over us as we listen for them. And he changes the whole landscape of our world. It's truly a beautiful thing.
Boy, and I want you to talk, practically speaking, how you did this. And you write this, we start thinking differently, and then we start living differently until some fine day we look down and see we're actually getting well. I want you to say more about this natural, supernatural process, because really that battle starts in the mind, and it's either won or lost there. So talk about that process of thinking differently and suddenly living differently, and then all of a sudden you look up one day and you go, I'm different. I'm actually getting better. My instinctive responses are more bent towards faith than they are towards fear.
So much of it does have to do with the mind, because what we fill our mind with is what pours out from our mouth. And so I think to have a mind that dwells on God constantly, it doesn't leave space for fear to dwell in your mind, right? It's so filled with God. There's no space left for fear. And so I listen to Christian radio, wonderful programs like yours, mm-hmm. Susie. I listen to worship music when I can in the car. I make space to take a walk with God. There is something powerful about a woman or a man on a walk with God when you get in this place of prayer and you are praying with your full heart to God. God, help me. I need you. This situation is overwhelming to me. I don't need to be ashamed that I'm a little bit afraid of this, God, but I just need to bring this fear to you, God. What will you do here? Reassure me, God, and get in this place where you're fighting with God through prayer for what it is that you need him to change in your life. He moves on that. He reacts to that. He floods you with peace, right? And then you say to him, God, thank you, God, that you are going to answer my prayer. You step into this offensive stance with God, and you say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, right? And then you get in your car after you're done with your prayer walk, and you drive, and you say, God, I want to go with you right here, right now. And you look for him on your drive. You say, God, I want to observe you. Thank you for the way that you're making those clouds shine so beautifully, Lord. They remind me of eternity. If my eyes are set on eternity, I don't need to fear the moment, God, because I'm living for something far greater than the here and the now, God. If I'm going to be with you forever, yes, this problem seems big, but it's not bigger than you in heaven, God, and me when I get there. And so, see, it's just about this welcoming, this great shalom to God, saying, God, you know what? Come with me everywhere. Come with me everywhere through my day, God. I don't want to stop you, not a moment in my life. You see, and it's almost creating no space for fear to live because God's just in everything. That's how I've overcome fear. It's letting God be my everything at all times in all ways. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at that. There is no person who's going to be perfect at this. That's why the book is called Fear Fighting. It's a constant return back to this. It's a constant turn back to say, okay, God, I got off track here for a moment, but you know what? I'm back, God. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. And you don't shame me. You don't condemn me, God. There's ample grace. There's rapid fire grace. And here I am, Lord. Let's go.
Boy, that's so good. My husband is one of those guys who cultivates a pretty perfect lawn. It's a piece of art for him. I don't know. But he used to tell the boys when our boys were growing up, you know how you keep a good lawn? He says how you keep the weeds out is you just fertilize. You keep the lawn healthy so there's no room for the weeds. And I feel like that just came back to me as you're talking, Kelly, that I think that one of the ways we fight fear is to keep our mind healthy, as you say, just so fixate on the things of God. So tell him how much we enjoy being with him and remind our souls how loving and kind he is, that there is just no room for that enemy. There's no opening for him to cultivate fear in our lives. When we come back, I'd love for you to tell the story about the time just before your wedding when some storms rolled in, and in that place you went to God and he told you to take off your shoes because it's holy ground. Tell us that story, and we're going to talk a little bit more about fear fighting. We've got 3 copies of this book. I love this book, Awake and Encouraged to Overcome Your Fears. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie with an S, not Z, S-U-S-I-E, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address. We'll be back in a minute. Same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. And I think it was Tozer who said, since that's true, we as God's people should be some of the most amazing people on the planet. How often do we access and walk in that power, the power that rose Christ from the dead, alive in us? We carry this treasure in these earthen vessels. So often we are bullied by our fears, we're beat up by our wounds, and the enemy wants it that way. But God says, do not fear. Jesus promises he's with us. So this is why we're talking about fear fighting today, Awake and Encouraged to Overcome Your Fears. Kelly Ballery is my guest. I love this book. We've got 3 copies. Would love to get one into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com, Susie with an S, and don't forget your mailing address. So Kelly, you say in the book, you write about a time just before your wedding when it seemed like the enemy dropped a bomb in your life. If you don't mind, take us to that place. Tell us what was going on all around you, but also inside.
Oh my goodness. There are some times in life where the dominoes just fall down, right? This was one of those times because my husband's brother had just died right before our wedding. I had some financial issues that were also coming down. The company went under, and we were on the line for so much money, a whole office in a building. Like, we owed all the lease for the rest of the year on it, which was completely stressful. So my husband and I decided to go out and play basketball together as kind of a stress reliever. And so we're playing, and literally I throw the ball up, the basketball up towards the hoop, and I jump up to catch it because it didn't go in, and it just cracks my finger. And so I have a broken finger that is in a lot of pain. So I come to find out that I'm going to need to get a little pin put inside of it, which was going to be surgery, and it was going to cost me a lot of money, insurance that I did not have. So I just prayed to God. I said, God, provide a way for me, because I don't know how I'm going to do all of this. And I was just so broken by everything. Like, everything was coming down on me. I just did not know how to handle it all. It just felt like so much. And I just felt so afraid of, what did the future hold? Where, how was I going to make it through? How are things going to come together? Was God going to provide for me? It was a very scary time, a very scary time. So, you know, a girl does what she can do. And sometimes what you need to do is just get alone with God and get quiet with him. And I just read about the burning bush. And I just read literally Exodus 3:5, which says, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And I just thought at that moment, God, all this stuff, all this pain, everything that's going wrong right now, all of this, God, this is holy ground. This right here is holy ground. And you want me to take my shoes off, Lord. You want me to remove my shoes and stand before you, the heat of what you're doing, God, so that you can change me, Lord, so that you can refine me, God, so that I can hear you above the chatter of mankind, above the people that are saying, you know, that this isn't the right way for me, that I made mistakes, and maybe this isn't the right man for me, and maybe I'm supposed to go another way, and maybe my finances are going to crumble around me, and maybe I'm not going to make it out okay. But God, to see you, that you've got a bigger picture for me, to be open up to your truth, God, to let in your fire, God, what it is that you want to do. And in a moment like this, when you take off your shoes, I think all you can do is just lay down before God and just let in his light, let in his love. And that's what I did. And the craziest thing happened. I went back to work just after this kind of experience of just taking my shoes off before God. And I called up my insurance company, and I was sure I had the worst insurance plan. But as I was on the phone with them, they said, you know what? Oh, no, you're actually like the gold plan. I think it was called the gold plan. You're the gold plan. You're 100% covered for your surgery. And I just had to laugh, because I'm like, isn't this how it is with God? Like, you just come before him in need and just fully surrendered to him. And somehow he makes it all work out. And it might not always be that he covers us financially, but somehow he'll cover us spiritually or emotionally or eternally. I don't know, but he shows up for us. And it's just the power of God.
Boy, and you write, take off those shoes that cover your real. Let your dirt, your calluses, and your vulnerable self stand bare before God. You aren't too much for him. I assure you, there are lessons in this place, the place where you bare your feet and bow your head. Don't go distracted or even demotivated. Expect the Spirit to move on your behalf, to speak your unspeakable. There's so much here that I love, Kelly, because for one, we either blame God, we shake our fist at him, or we self-preserve and self-protect, kind of afraid of what, you know, that maybe we've responded in a way that's beneath us, and we all do that. So we shy away from God, but it's the very mess that he wants in his presence so he can love on us and heal us and correct and redirect. I mean, he's always after our best interest, isn't he?
Oh my goodness. He is so much so for us. He's so for us, so with us. I just wish that we could, like, have a conception of how much he loves us, because I think it would blow our mind. I have this just vision of just, like, us being in heaven, and all of a sudden we look back and we said, oh, my gosh, God, these are all the reasons why you did it this way. And we just, like, jumped up and down and, like, whoa, you're that great. You're so much better than we even expected, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've just got a few minutes before it's time to pray. And I've got to ask, because I was reading in the book where you were driving and I think you lost your sight and your arms and legs were numb. And this is when they thought you'd had MS. And if you know anything about my backstory, that's one of the things they thought I had as well. It ended up being Lyme disease. But I would love to know, if you don't mind telling, what happened with your health? Did you get a diagnosis, and how are you today?
Okay, this is a funny story, because my son, at that time, literally when I was going through all this testing and everything, he was a chronic crier. He was just born, and the kid would not sleep a lick at night. So my husband and I, we would pace the hallways all night long, but it gave us an opportunity to pray. And we just prayed for healing. We prayed that it wouldn't be MS. We prayed and we prayed, and we called up friends who needed to pray, and we prayed to no end. And we kept on knocking and knocking and knocking. And you know what? After all those tests, after all the stuff, the doctors came back and said, you know what? We don't know, but we can't give you a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. We can't give you, we thought it was, but we have to say it's not. And so that's what ended up happening. And God did so many amazing things. He had me ministering to people in the waiting rooms for the MRIs and just really powerful stories that are in the book. But God is so good, and prayer does work. I just want everyone to know, don't give up on prayer. Keep at it.
So what is your health diagnosis, and how is your health right now?
I am doing so well. I did have a recent episode where my eyesight went out when I was in California, but beyond that, I haven't had anything else happen to me for years, and I don't know why my eyesight went out, but I am just waiting on the Lord and trusting that I'm going to be okay.
Well, we have a doctor on who's treating me with my stuff once a month. It's called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, and he's absolutely brilliant. I want you to call in next time he's on and tell him what's going on, because I bet you he could say something to you. He's a neurologist. He's a Christian. He does functional medicine. And I'm just saying, Kelly, I just feel like he may just have an answer for you, because we're so intricately intertwined, and there's so much that's connected, you know? So anyway, I could have told you that off the air, but I want you fully well. So a minute here before we pray, what last parting words do you have for the person listening today whose fear just seems to be a constant companion for them?
I just want to tell you, I love you, my friend who is prone to fear. I really love you. And my heart understands you. I know it's not an easy journey, and I know it's a battle. And I just want to let you know, in this book, you have a friend in me. You have an encourager, and you have someone who's walked your walk for the most part. And you also have a God who understands, and he will never let you down. As you turn to him, he'll be faithful to you, and he will guide you, he will strengthen you, and he will help you.
Wow. You are an encouraging friend, Kelly, and I love the conversation. As we get ready to wrap here, wondering if you would pray for that very person you just spoke to. Would you pray a blessing for them?
Dear God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I just lift up my friend who is struggling with fear, with anxiety and worry, Lord. I ask you, God, as the Prince of all peace, Lord, to pour out your blessing, your love, your mercy, and your grace, God, on my friend, Lord. Help them know, God, that you are with them, you are for them, and you will never abandon or forsake them, God. Hold them close to your heart, God, and may they feel and know your love. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
And Father, I pray for Kelly. I pray you pour out your spirit on her in a fresh new way. I ask you, God, that you'd heal her from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. I pray that every nerve, every little neuron, every cell, every vessel would work to support life and health, that there'd be no confusion or miscommunication in her body, every system healed, whole, strengthened. And I pray in your name, Lord, that Kelly would live out her days in health, an abundance of health and strength. We say thank you, God, for her precious life and message in Jesus' name. Amen. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Susie. This was such a blessing.
Great conversation. Title of her book, again, is Fear Fighting, Awakening Courage to Overcome Your Fears. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this has been Live the Promise. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want you to remember this, because it's absolutely true. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He does, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. So have a blessed day.